his arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the epistle of Paul to the Romans. And last time we stopped at verse 4 of chapter 2. We are going to be continuing from there this week. We thank God for what he's doing for us in this season. Surely he has been with us and he has been keeping us. And today we want to give him all the glory, honor, and praise for who he is and what he's doing in the lives of his people. So we just bless God at this time and we are going to be praying. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness, O God. You are God, our faithful Father, our King. O God, we thank you that you, O God, are our resting place. You, O God, are our strong tower. We thank you, O God, that you are our mighty fortress. Father God, we just thank you that we can come, O God, Almighty Lord, to your throne room with confidence through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, O God, Almighty Lord, that now we can draw near because of what Christ has done at the cross for us. So we just thank you today for the access. And we thank you, O God, that as we come to your throne room in the name of Jesus, that you, O God, and my Lord, will come and that you will lead us and guide us in all truth. Father God, I pray that your word come that day, O God, it will pierce the hearts of your people. O God, bring all transformation. My dick word, only your word can transform us. So we pray today in the name of Jesus, O God, it's the word that word carry your front and transform God. So we pray today in the name of Jesus, O God, it's the word that word carry your front and transform God. So we pray today in the name of Jesus, O God, it's the word that word carry your front and transform God. Labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, O God, and your word say we shall find rest for our souls. Father God Almighty, many of us, our souls are in turmoil at this time. But we pray right now in the name of Jesus, O God, for that sweet rest that comes only from you. I pray today in the name of Jesus that your peace, O God, will rule in our hearts. O God, to the which we are called and we should be thankful. I pray, O God Almighty, that our hearts will be filled with thanksgiving because you are good, O God, and your mercy endures forever. So we just thank you again for this opportunity to bring forth your word. Thank you for all those that are listening this evening. Thank you, Almighty God, that the hearts are prepared to receive your word. And thank you, O God, that we will not just be hearers of your word, but we will practice what you say. Father God, we thank you that you are bringing us to that place of maturity in you. Oh, great God, where we will go forth as sons and daughters of the King and we will represent you well. Father, we thank you, oh God, even for those, oh God, that are not yet saved, that they will hear the good news and they will purpose in their hearts, oh God, to serve you. Draw them to you, Holy Ghost. Oh, mighty God, only you can draw weary souls to you. So we pray there will be a mighty draft, O God, among your people, that you will draw them into the kingdom, O great God, and bring them to that place of coming to know you and honoring your great name. Lord, we look to you this evening for an evening that will be well spent in your presence, because your word, O God, is that lamp to our feet and that light to our path. Your word prevents us from stumbling along this journey. So we look to you, O God. Let your word, O God, be hidden in our hearts, that we will not sin against you. So we thank you and we look to you by faith in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we say amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we continue from verse 4 of Romans chapter 2. And we know Paul writing this epistle to the Romans. And this epistle was written from about AD 57. And Paul wrote this epistle before he went to Rome. And Paul didn't get to go to Rome until almost at the ending part of his life, where he was taken to Rome as a prisoner. So we see him here writing this epistle to the Romans. And this epistle is the first epistle among his 13 epistles in the New Testament. And we see where Paul explores the significance of Christ's sacrificial death in this epistle. And Paul records the most systematic presentation of doctrine in the Bible in this epistle. This book to the Romans is more than a book of theology, but a book or an epistle of practical exhortation to the brethren in Rome and to us at this time also. And as we read this word, it is also applicable to us now in this season. So the gospel of Jesus is more than just truth that we read and we believe. It is also a lifestyle to live. So we are to live a lifestyle of righteousness and holiness, which befits those that are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So if we are justified by faith in Jesus, we are to live as children of God. We are to live, walk righteously, walk soberly in this present life. So the word of God is telling us to continue on the pathway of righteousness, to walk in the Spirit, to walk by faith, to walk trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he is the one who died for us. He is the sacrificial lamb. And through his sacrifice on the cross, we can have life and have it more abundantly. We can walk in the truth of his word through the Holy Spirit who dwell with us and in us. So Paul was writing and continue in chapter 2 to the Romans. And he was saying to them in verse 3 of Romans chapter 2 that, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such thing, and does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? So Paul was speaking to those who were quick to condemn others, and they were also committing the same sins that they were condemning others for. So Paul was saying to them, do you think you're going to escape God's judgment? No, you won't escape God's judgment. So last time we stopped at verse 4, which says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" So Paul was speaking to those who were still wrapped up in their sinful lifestyle. He was asking them this question, if they despise the riches of God's goodness. Do you despise the riches of God's goodness, his forbearance? God is always bearing with us, putting up with all our foolishness. But God is forbearing towards us and long-suffering. He's long-suffering. He endures. He put up with all these things that we go on for so long. Why? Because of his love for us. He's not willing that any one of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he's so long-suffering towards us. And the word tells us that it is the goodness of God that leads them to repentance. So it's God's goodness, God's long-suffering towards us, God's forbearance towards us that leads us to repentance. So many times we keep practicing sin and we say God is not doing anything about it. But it is showing God's forbearance towards us. And it is showing God's long suffering towards us. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it is his goodness that leads us to repent. When we look on the goodness of God, when we see that it is because of his goodness why we are still here. It's because of his mercies why we are not consumed. So we see God's goodness towards us. And because of that, that leads us to repent. We have to change our ways because we see how good and faithful and merciful our God is. Verse 5 of Romans chapter 2 tells us, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasured up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So Paul was saying that after their hard and unrepentant heart, they are reaping up to themselves wrath on top of wrath that will be coming upon them on God's day of judgment. So it is showing that when your hearts become so hard and unrepentant, you continue to heap up God's judgment upon you. Judgment, God's wrath on top of wrath, because you keep hearing God's word and you still remain hardened in your heart and unrepentant. So God's wrath will come upon the children of disobedience when you don't decide to obey God's word and don't decide to turn from your evil way. God's wrath will come upon you. God's wrath will be upon them. God's judgment will come. The day of God's judgment will come. So let us hear God's word and come to understand and know his goodness, that he is long-suffering, he is forbearing. He does not want anyone to perish, but he wants us all to come to repentance. So when the hearts become so hard, we pray that the hammer of God's word will break up those hardened hearts, those stony hearts, and God's heart, the heart of flesh, will come into the lives of those that have become so hard. God is able to transplant any heart. He is able to create in us clean hearts, new hearts, and renew a right spirit within us. So we trust God to bring forth that change of heart in all those that have become hardened and unrepentant. The word tells us that a broken and a contrite heart the Lord will not despise. Verse 6 of Romans chapter 2. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? So God will render to every man according to his deeds. Look in 2 Corinthians 5, 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So the day is coming when we all gonna stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we are all going to give account for everything that we do in this body, everything that we do in this life, we are going to give account for it, whether it be good or bad. The good will be rewarded, love God, but the bad, we will be punished for all the bad things that we have done, but the good will be rewarded. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his word, as his work shall be. So let us continue to do good, people of God. Let us do good, and let us not do evil. For the day is coming, the day of reckoning is coming, when we are going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and every man will give account of all the things that he has done in this life, in this body. Look at verse 7 of Romans chapter 2. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality eternal. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality eternal. So Paul was commending those who were patiently continuing in doing good works. They were steadfast in the faith. They were steadfast in the faith, abounding in the works of God, and seeking for the glory and honor that shall be on them on Christ's return, when they will be clothed immortally forever more. So Paul was saying, we will be close immortally forever when Christ comes back for us. We should be looking for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should be living each day looking for his return, for his coming back, for a people that have been washed in his blood, a people that have placed their trust in him. He's coming back for a church without spots or wrinkles. So let us continue to walk and trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ is going to reward us for our well-doing. He's going to reward us. So let us continue to do good. Let us not watch what others are doing, but let us keep our focus on Christ Jesus and do what is right. Christ is calling a people who will live right, who will be clothed in his righteousness. Knowing that we are clothed in his righteousness reminds us that we have the power through the Holy Spirit to live right. So we are not just clothed in his righteousness, but we are called to live right, right living among God's people. So God is calling us, people of God. And these words were written so long ago, but these words are still for us today. They are applicable to every Christian. They are applicable to every one of us who are called by the name of Christ. So let us know that Christ will return. He's coming back. And we will be clothed immortally forever. But we have to be clothed in his righteousness and walking right before him. He's calling us to live right. We don't just want to say we are saved and that we are clothed in Christ's righteousness, but we want to live a life honoring to him. His word tells us that we are his workmanship, created unto good works. So we are called to do right, to live right, to walk right, to be the people that God has called us to be, true ambassadors of Christ Jesus, bringing glory and honor to his great name. Romans chapter 2 verse 8 says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Paul was speaking and continued to speak unto those who continue in unrighteousness. Verse 9 said, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jews first, and also of the Gentile. So he was pronouncing all these things are going to come upon those who continue to do unrighteousness. And people of God, we have to understand, we will suffer the consequences for our sins. Sins have consequences. Tribulation and anguish, physical and mental pain upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jews first and also of the Gentile. Verse 10, but glory, look on what happened. Those who do evil, all those evil things will come upon them. But look on verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jews first, and also to the Gentile. Remember that the Jews are God's chosen people. They were called to be a light to all the nations of the world. The word tells us that Jesus Christ came from the lineage of the Jewish people. Jesus himself said that salvation is of the Jews. That means salvation comes through the Jewish people, because Christ himself is of the lineage of the Jewish people. But the word said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So Christ came first to the Jewish people. He came to them first. Have come to the lost sheep of Israel. So he came to the Jewish people first, even though he came for everyone here on earth. He came for all of humanity, but he came to the Jewish people first. He was born into the family of the Jewish people. But he came that every human being will be saved. Every human being will receive salvation through him. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So that's why Paul was saying to the Jews first, and also of the Gentiles. So the word tells us, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jews first and also to the Gentiles. The word of God tells us in Galatians 6, 7 through 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So people of God, we have to come to understand that everything that we do, it does bear fruit. What fruit are we bearing? So let us come to understand that when we do good, God's glory, his honor, and his peace will be upon every man that doeth good. So let us continue to do good in this life. Let us continue to do good to everyone that we have come in contact with. Verse 11 of Romans chapter 2. For there is no respect of persons with God. God is no respecter of persons, people of God. God has no favorites. He is not partial. So if we do good, we will be rewarded. If we do evil, we will suffer the consequences. There's no other way out. You do good, you will be rewarded. You do evil, you will suffer the consequences. That's the word of God. Because God is no respecter of persons. Look at verse 12 of Romans chapter 2. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. What is this saying? The Gentiles who did not have the law of God, if they sin, they will also receive punishment. They will also receive punishment for sin. Why? Because every man was born with a conscience. They know wrong from right. And the Jewish people who have the law, they have the guide. They have the law of God that was given to Moses to instruct them in right living. The word said if they sin, the law will be used to judge them. This is their measurement for their judgment, the law. You have a guide. You have the instructions to follow. But you don't follow it, you will be judged by that same law. But the Gentiles who didn't have that written copy of the law, but the God has put a conscience and inner weakness in every man. So that is why they also know when they sin. They know when they have transgressed God's rules. So it is showing us that no man has no excuse. No human beings have any excuse. Look at verse 13 of Romans chapter 2. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So Paul was saying that it is not those who hear the word of God are right before God. It's not those who just hear the word, but those who practice right living. So it's not just us hearing God's word and not practicing it, but those who do the word, those who practice the word, they are right before God. The word of God says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. When we hear God's word and truly believe it, people of God, we will start to practice it. I believe why we're not practicing God's word is because we haven't truly believed. But when we truly believe God's word, when we are convinced that this is truth, when we are persuaded that this is truth, then we are going to start to practice God's word. We are going to start to practice God's word because we are justified. The word tells us that we are justified. By what? Placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Who is the just one? He is the one that fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. He is the only one who could live the law perfectly, who could practice it perfectly. But because we have put our trust in the perfect one, we too now can practice what is right through the power of the Holy Ghost that he placed in us. He sends the Holy Spirit to live with us and in us. So the Holy Spirit enables us to live the law, to do what God says, to practice what God says. So we have power through the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to do what's right through the Holy Spirit, who comes to live with us and in us, and who gives us the power and the ability to do what is right. Verse 14 of Romans chapter 2. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. So what Paul was saying, when the Gentiles who did not have the guidance of the law practice right living, then they did not have a tangible copy of the law of God to follow. But God put in every man a conscience. This has become their law, or their guide. Our conscience, our inner weakness has become the law of those who were not given that written copy of the law. The law came to the Jewish people, so they had a written copy, and that is what they would be judged by. That it would be the measuring stick by which they would be judged. But the Gentiles had not a hard copy of the law, but they had a conscience, that inner weakness that God has placed in every human being. Every human knows right from wrong. But when we stop listening to the voice of our conscience, it becomes dead or silent. So we proceed to do evil without feeling guilty anymore, without feeling convicted anymore, because our conscience is seared. Our conscience has become seared. It has become burnt. And Paul spoke in 1 Timothy 4, 1-2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So God is saying to us that because many, their conscience is now seared, they continue to practice sin, and they don't feel convicted anymore. No more guilt feeling, because the conscience has become so seared, so burned, so dead. The conscience is not witnessing anymore to them. But we don't want to come to that state in our lives. We want to truly trust God and walk each day in obedience to his words. Praise God. We'll stop there for this week, and we'll continue next week from verse 14. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this evening. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you for what you're doing in this season. And thank you, O God Almighty, that your word will bring transformation in the lives of your people. We honor you and give you praise in Jesus' precious name. And we say amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend in the Lord, and continue to study God's word. Amen. Blessings.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.